Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, beloved. I welcome you to Blessed Community's worship service this morning. And I trust and pray that the Lord has blessed you. It's a steep path that he brought us through, and we're looking forward to his choice of blessings in the week upcoming. I'm going to take time out this morning to wish Addison, my number one granddaughter, a happy birthday this morning. She's seven, and we are in the birthday weekend. Amen. So happy birthday, happy seventh birthday. Love her very, very much. Amen. Let us open up with a word of prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. O Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, we want to look at the gospel recorded by St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 13, and it reads, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him." And we want to preach briefly on this subject this morning, the journey of life. The journey of life. The Holy Ghost has recorded this immortal story in order to teach us many life lessons. Most importantly, that every one of us is on the journey of life. But it's strange that Matthew doesn't record this story, neither does Mark or John. But Luke includes it in his gospel, because there's something very human about the story. We see two disciples in question. They were not a part of the apostolic band, and theologians surmise that they were husband and wife, who had turned their back on Jerusalem with the tragedy of the cross lying behind them, and they were facing the sinking sun as they walk westward to Emmaus, which is 7 miles away. In the account of their journey, we see the whole purpose of God and the glorious message of the gospel tenderly, truthfully, and thrillingly told. Now, if you would, let's notice three things about the journey of life. The journey of life has to first have a divine conversation, because ever since creation, man has been on a journey. God saw how sad and slow of heart men were on that journey as a result of sin that had entered the world. And so he blessed his son to converse with men. Jesus Christ is God's conversation with men. And just as Jesus drew near and went with these two disciples on that first Easter morning, in similar fashion, he has joined men and women ever since on the journey of life. John says in his prologue, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So in his walk with these two disciples, Christ Jesus noticed two things about them that are true of us as well, unless we know the wonder and joy of the resurrection message. The first thing that he found was sad hearts. And I have to ask this question this morning. Are you joyful? Is there happiness in your heart? Or are you part of the massive crowd walking the journey of life who are sad because they have never invited Christ Jesus into their heart or their home? Now, this morning, these two disciples were sad because their faith was shaken. Later in the conversation, they said, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things that have happened in these days?" They believed, as others did, that the one who had entered Jerusalem on the Palm Sunday riding on the donkey would eventually redeem Israel. They believed that he would drive out the Romans and establish a great messianic kingdom, but it had not materialized. Instead, he had been crucified. He had nails placed in his hands and feet. And as a result, their faith was gone. And all over the world, at this hour, there are people whose faith has been shaken. Their religion is failed. And as far as they are concerned, all that they hope that the church would accomplish is failed. They have to look for certain Christian leaders who haven't measured up to their expectation, and as a result, their faith has been badly shaken. And furthermore, these two were sad because their hope was shattered. They had enough religious knowledge to know the meaning of 3 days. The disciples had heard the prophet who was mighty indeed in word say that in 3 days the temple of his body would be raised, but 3 days had gone by and nothing had happened. And as a result, their faith was shaken. Their hope was shattered. But what is more, their love was placed on mute. These disciples had loved Jesus. They had seen him perform miracles. They had seen him touch the heads of little children. They had watched him break bread and fish and feed the multitudes. They had watched him heal lepers. They had seen him raise the dead. But now he was gone. And nothing is more frustrating than to have your love put on mute. When somehow you can't love Jesus anymore. He's gone. He's buried. He's lost. But the good news is the Lord communed with them. And today, Christ Jesus himself draws near, sent by the Father in heaven to join you on your life's journey, to discuss your shaken faith, the dreams that have been unfulfilled, and the love which is unsatisfied. And secondly, he found that they were slow of heart. And the reason the Lord Jesus came into this world to expose the reason for our sadness and slowness of heart was to let you know the reason why you can't penetrate the deep things of God. Why the word of God seems incomprehensible. Why prayer may seem like a farce and the church a puzzle. Why God seems unreal and far away. Remember now, you are a religious being and you carry the likeness of God in your personality, even though you've been cursed by sin. This couple this morning did not understand what had transpired on the cross. They didn't understand the meaning of his outpoured blood. They did not understand the stone rolled away from the tomb was one of the greatest miracles that the world had ever seen. Christ Jesus never meets anyone along life's journey without starting a conversation. He has to speak. He has to expose slowness and unbelieving hearts. He has to come to renew us with his resurrected life. And after the divine conversation, we have what's called a divine confrontation on the journey of life. God sent his son into this world not only to institute a conversation with men, but to cause a confrontation with men as well. He came in order that he might talk to us in our language and expose by what he said the emptiness and unbelief that finds itself in our hearts. You see, Christ Jesus confronts us with the prophetic truth. Beginning at Moses, he showed that he was the fulfillment of God's law. That was related to the patriarchs. Then he showed that he was the fulfillment of God's life. That's dealing with the Psalms. And then he showed that he was the fulfillment of God's love. That was dealing with the prophets. He was the fulfillment of all scripture. That's an impact. What a confrontation that is. And then he has to deal with historic truth. Can't you hear him saying, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? In addressing the very event of which they were speaking, Jesus showed that he was the historic fulfillment of what he said would happen. Prophecy had become history. But their problem was their failure to accept what was taught in biblical prophecy. Then we have the dynamic truth. They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within while he talked to us on the road and opened up the scriptures unto us? Even as he talk with them, we read that their hearts began to burn within them. And if you are prepared to recognize the presence of Christ Jesus' life in your journey, you will discover that confrontation will always turn into confrontation, because nobody can encounter Jesus and be the same. Only he can change the sadness of heart into gladness of heart. The confrontation with the living Lord made these two disciples do something. Having reached Emmaus, he indicated that he would go on and leave them. But they constrained him to be with them. Seeing it was evening, he went in to stay with them. Because Christ Jesus never forces himself upon anyone. The Savior will not enter your life without an invitation. You must ask him to come on in. And then we have what's called the divine consummation. The scripture tells us that he had went in with them
to stay. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. And the most wonderful thing about any journey is that it ultimately reaches an end. And notice what that end meant to these two individuals. First of all, it satisfied their hearts. The Lord Jesus always starts at the center, then he moves out into the circumference. Has your heart been strangely warmed? Can you say, my heart burns within me? Because the end of any journey into joy must start with a warmed heart. And secondly, he sanctified the home. He turned their home into a sanctuary and the meal into a sacrament. This is what Jesus does every time he comes into your house. He makes it a sanctuary. And he turned the meal into a sacrament. He took the bread and he broke it. And in the way that he broke the bread, they realized and understood that it was Jesus. It must have been the way that they saw him handle the broken bread. It must have been the way that the candlelight illuminated the room and they were able to see the nail prints in his hand. And they came to the realization that it was nobody but Jesus. They knew him. And as soon as they came to the realization that it was Jesus, he vanished from their sight. So they did not need to see him anymore. He had entered their heart and their home, and the bread had become a sacrament. Isn't it wonderful to think that every meal can become a sacrament, every a little communion service, if you invite Jesus in? And then thirdly, he sealed their happiness. Scholars have pointed out that it took them some 7 hours to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But so excited they were by their confrontation with Jesus that at the same night, they opened the door and started back to share the good news with the other disciples. It was not only the good news of the living presence of Jesus, but also Jesus blessed them with a living peace. As we're told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them by the breaking of bread, Jesus himself stood in the midst and then said, my peace be unto you. And then he goes on to say, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You see, the consummation, the end of their journey meant that they received a warming of the heart, the blessing of the home, and the feeling of happiness of the human life. And when you have the living presence, the living peace, and the living power of Christ Jesus, what else do you want? Brothers and sisters, how far along are you on the journey of life? Are you in the conversation mode? Are you in the confrontation mode? Or are you in the consummation mode? God had broken into time with Christ Jesus to expose the sadness and the slowness of your heart. God has come in Christ along life's journey for this divine confrontation to face you with the gospel of prophetic, historic, and dynamic truth. And you can reject it. Or what you should do is to allow the door to swing wide open in your life and constrain Jesus to come on in. Because God has come that you might know a divine consummation is a satisfied heart, a sanctified home, and a sealed happiness. You and you alone can experience the living presence, that living peace, that living power of Christ Jesus by constraining him to come on in. See, Jesus isn't a burglar. He doesn't break in where he's not wanted. But if you say, Lord Jesus, come, and you constrain and compel him to come into your life, yes, he will do just that. And your life will never be the same. All of us are traveling on the journey of life, but we don't have to go it by ourselves. We can have the ultimate traveling partner. We can enjoy the ultimate company keeper, and that is none other than Christ Jesus. All you have to do is invite him in on your journey, and your life will never be the same. Amen, amen, and amen again. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for sending your son Jesus to make this life a little better, to make this life better by his presence, by his power, and by his strength. We pray, Lord, that you will touch every listener this morning and bless this place called Blessed Community. Keep us, Holy God, until we're able to assemble again one more time. So we ask these blessings all in the blessed name of Jesus. For his sake, we do pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Stop that.
Huh?
Laugh. I stopped it.
Oh, they caught?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I just said, woo. Is that what I said?
Yeah.